This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Cheval Golang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Prince Masters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance. You're not alone.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Cheval Golang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. We are on the eve of Labor Day, holiday in the Bahamas, a holiday and a celebrated day all over the world. Tomorrow, even International Workers' Day, so designated. And so we are going to join with celebrating all of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and all over the world. And so I wish you all well. If you want to give us a call at some point today, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on cable behind 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can get us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Our country has a population just shy of 400,000 persons, according to the most recent census data of the Bahamas National Statistical Institute. And of that almost 400,000 people, according to the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, in May of 2019, the total labor force of the country stood at some 237,525 persons. That's more than half the population making up the total labor force. What do we mean by total labor force? It means all of those persons between 15 and 60 years old who are interested to work, that constitute your labor force. The people who are actually working constitute your workforce, which is that would be lower than your total labor force. And of that 237,000 plus persons who are the labor force of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, 113,960 of them were women, and 123,565 were men. So while there is a difference, about 10,000 or so difference between women and men, it's, you know, basically the same in terms of percentages. I mean, almost the same in terms of percentages. So women are participating. Oh, women are part of the labor force, men are part of the labor force. Of the employed labor force back in 2019, 214,890 were the employed labor force. That's 214,000. That's 82.9% of all the people available to work between 15 and 60 years old who are willing to work, 82.9%, almost 83% of those people were actually participating in the labor force. And women, in terms of their participation rate, 77%, and men, 86% participating. Of those who are unemployed, and you remember that unemployment doesn't mean you're not working. I know it sounds counterintuitive. Unemployment means two things. I asked you, did you seek employment in the last 3 months? You said yes. And I asked you, are you working? No, that means you're unemployed. If I asked you, were you seeking employment in the last 3 months? You say no. No, when you're not working, you're not considered unemployed. You could be counted as a discouraged worker. All right, and so the unemployment rate stood at around 9.5% then, but it's lower now, around about 8% or something. How many of your labor force are in New Providence? 165,000, about that many. How many in Grand Bahama? About 33,000. In Abaco, about 15,000, and the balance of a few thousand scattered throughout the islands of the Bahamas. All right. And so just so you know what we are staring at, what is that labor force of yours making in terms of total household income, according to the National Bahamas National Statistical Institute? If you look at New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Abaco, a little over $5 billion in household income. This was back in 2019. What was the mean household income? And this is household, not individual. This is the unit, not household, could be a person, two persons, three persons, four persons. The mean household income was $47,000. The median, mean means the average. When you take the average of all, the median household income was $33,000 above, which means that one half falls below that and the other half above that to give you your median. Okay. And so that's who we're celebrating, all those tens of thousands of people like yourselves who are working for somebody, working for yourself. That's who we're celebrating tomorrow, as workers. And I want to give you some interesting facts that I picked up about Labor Day. If I could find it for you. Because I didn't realize Labor Day goes back a really long, long way. Really long way. Okay. Let's see. I want you to just have a little bit of information. You're going to have the same one I have. This is according to Print TQ. But we know in the Bahamas, the name associated most with labor is who? Somebody text me and tell me whose name is most associated with labor in this country. Of course, he led a labor a movement and party in this country many, many, many years. Someone text me and tell me who that person is, played a pivotal role in our country's election consequences that led to majority rule. And if you can't text me, I can feel real bad for your day. We're told that the Labor Day actually dates back to September 1882, associated with a union protest in New York City, which was known as the Haymarket Affair. Right? So that's a long time to be celebrating labor. I know y'all just enjoyed a holiday, but people have been seriously looking at the circumstances of labor. Many of us take for granted the conditions we work under in terms of labor now. We work the standard work week is 40 hours a week. And if you work after that, you have to get overtime, which is time and a half. If you have to work on holidays, you get double time. You're required to have a safe work environment. You're supposed to have a break. You're supposed to have time for lunch. You're supposed to have some time off during the course of any given week. And we take these things for granted, but people fought for these things because there was a time when people did not have these privileges in work. They were worked like slaves, and many people died on those jobs, were injured on those jobs, got terrible pay on those jobs. They were discriminated if you were Black versus being white, if you were a woman versus being a man. Sometimes children were exploited in terms of their labor. And all of these things changed because people advocated, people protested, people even had clashes, as was what was the case with the Haymarket affair, had clashes with police officers and were injured during the course of those clashes. Why? Because people believed that workers ought to have dignity in their work, and they ought to have fair treatment in their work, and they ought to be shown the kind of respect. That's right. Sir Randall Fox was the gentleman most associated with labor. Why you raise your hand? You were very right. My mother worked closely with Mr. Fox when we started his party back in the 60s and those. And so that's how she started, as she might say, as she cut her political tooth. So we take a lot for granted. And these days people scoff at unions. Yeah, some younger workers, they don't think they're so important. You know, all they want to do is take your money. And all they want to do is, live large off your money. No. These unions, they pay their dues all over the world to bring about a revolution in the conditions of work in the country. And countries are all over the world. And as somebody says, that it's better to have a union and not need one than to need a union and not have one. And so I'm not one of those people who believe that every behavior and activity of unions is justified, reasonable, or rational, but I happen to believe in the cause of unions because the collective ability of workers to bargain does put a check on the power of employers who might. And you're not talking about decent employers who want to do the right thing by their workers, but those who are not so minded, they have to have a check on their power. And that check is through the collective bargaining movement and the work of unions. And so, and you'll find that across the spectrum, whether you're dealing with politicians or preachers, or you're dealing with teachers and others, many regard with a high degree of seriousness Labor Day. So that's why you see political parties participated in it, because the last thing you want to do as a political party is to not demonstrate fidelity with the workers of the country, especially when they make up. Shall I say 100% of the voters in the country? Mostly, well, almost 100% of the voters in the country. So tomorrow, there'll be a march, no doubt, or marches. I don't know how unified the unions will be and so forth, but they will march and they will reflect their strength tomorrow. And no doubt speeches may be made, and there'll be advocacy for different things to ever try to improve the conditions of work and the dignity of workers. And they will be supported by many as we celebrate Labor Day. What do you think? Any thoughts? Happy to hear from you. I have a couple of things to talk about outside of Labor Day, but I just wanted to put into context what it is we do. I think of all the holidays, Christmas, Easter, they are profoundly recognized for what they are. Labor Day, same thing, because at least on Labor Day, there is an actual set of activities that remind us of what the day is. Some of these other holidays don't get that kind of privilege. We just kind of hang out, like August Monday. We notice, but it doesn't get the same kind of treatment as, say, a Labor Day does, or Whit Monday. So the unions have a lot to do with that. They're annual significant marches. Some years they are more organized and significant. Some years they have been scattered and split, and then some years it gets better. And the FNM and the PLP, as major political parties in the country, always try to show some kind of front, some kind of, you know, solidarity with workers, and so you expect them to participate. And so sometimes people gauge between elections who showed the most support for labor, red or yellow. And so we might see some of that tomorrow. So afternoon, Mr. Lang, interesting topic. Would you say former Prime Minister Ingram was a union-friendly PM? Yes, I think Prime Minister respected unions, and I think he certainly respected workers, but I believe that he was also aware of the significant politicization of unions to the extent that some union leaders had a particular affinity for certain political power. When you were dealing with them, you didn't always know if you were dealing with an honest broker. And so he was not so minded to concede to unions merely because you were conceding. I think he realized that, you know, unions had to embrace rationality and reasonableness in their negotiations as well. And so he was unafraid of unions. Some political personalities pander to unions, pander to workers, you know, so they would be minded to appear conciliated all the time, even if they just didn't agree with unions. Ingram was not like that. And I think he was especially not like that if he suspected that a union was being partisanly politically influenced. And so he would, if he thought they were being unreasonable, he would be strong, or he'd be strong in negotiating with them. And I think most of them saw him as a strong negotiator. And in the end, I mean, you know, I think they came to reasonable outcomes that both sides could live with. But I definitely believe he respected unions and respected workers. And I definitely believe that he was not eyes closed about whether every union leader was an honest broker. His text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. How come we don't have unions in the private sector? Of course you have unions in the private sector. The Financial Services Union is a private sector union, right? You have unions. I can't remember the name of all of them, but you have some. You have some unions that are private sector unions. The public sector is a huge employer, and so it's not. And the hotel union is a private sector union, bro. The hotel union is a private sector union. The government doesn't have any major holdings in the unions. And so, yes, we have unions in the private sector. Also, unions are great for any country, but some members abuse the union by making false reports and false industrial accidents, and union encourages these foolishness. Some government workers ain't been to work for 1 year straight. Environmental health, you say. Yeah, well, in anything, you have people who can abuse the thing. You know, say Sarandon Fox is deceased. Of course, yeah. What do you mean? So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. What are your thoughts on our department granting so many labor certificates for work that qualified Bahamians can perform efficiently? That's a really good question. Right now, let's be honest in this country about something. Clearly, there are some skills that we lack in the country, either lack at all or we lack insufficient supply. So we know that that is true, whether that's on the medical side of life, on the even on the education side of life, et cetera. That's why we bring teachers in. That's why we bring doctors in, et cetera, because we don't have either the skill or we don't have as many of the skills persons that we need in those areas, right? But there are jobs in this country which, yes, Bahamians can do, and yes, they can do them efficiently. But the truth of the matter is they ain't doing them. They don't want to do them. Bahamians are not going to be available in the bulk supply in the landscaping in sector. They're not seeking to do that job. And in terms of maid services and these kinds of things, yes, there are Bahamians who are great, fantastic maids. But in the numbers that we see people require in this country, lots of people ain't trying to be no maid for nobody in this country. And then there are some nuances people have when it comes to having people in their homes where they feel like in these small societies where people come see your business, talk your business, you never know. So people get a little nuance like that. So, there are some circumstances in which, corruptly or otherwise, people negotiating relationships or negotiating some other something can have a permit issued to them that probably ought not to be issued. But I do not believe that the permitting system is really a matter of just giving away work permits to people to do jobs Bahamians could do. I think that the circumstances are far more complex than that. Far more. Again, I'm not disputing that there are people who probably have work permits who probably shouldn't get them. Maybe hundreds, maybe thousands. But I believe that there are thousands more of these permits that just reflect the nature of your economy. Not merely that you have some skills that you don't have in sufficient supply or you don't have at all, but in some circumstances, reflecting the fact that your workforce is unwilling to participate in certain kinds of work. And I live in the Bahamas. I know dealing with many of the people I deal with, how they think about certain kinds of jobs. I have a friend, very good friend, who used to be on the Haitian thing. I mean, his opposition to illegal immigration and the Haitian thing was significant. Until he was a business person in the construction field. Listen to me, buddy. All these years, me and you was talking, I see what you're saying, buddy. Say Bahamians, some Bahamians could work, but in general, buddy, some things but these Haitians, that's how he said it. Man, they could work. And so I just think that there are complexities and nuances to our immigration labor situation that reflects the permitting scenario. And I think that if the Bahamas decided to get rid of 60% of its work permits, I think its economy would suffer immensely. Immensely. Personal view. So, Mr. Lang, I ain't doing landscaping, sun too hot, and I ain't cleaning, no toilet, bathroom, smell too bad, so we need for. I just being real about this. Bring them foreigners, say, Mr. Lang, why Bahamian maids talk your business so much? They would tell people everything in your house. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break. I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a
stand. Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com.
Hey, Dunkin' fans, get ready to celebrate the sweetest day of the year, National Donut Day, June 7th. For one day only, Friday, June 7th, enjoy a free donut with the purchase of any drink at Dunkin'. That's right, your favorite coffee, iced tea, or frozen drink gets even better with a delicious donut on the house. Choose from our mouth-watering lineup, classic glaze, chocolate frosted, jelly filled, and more. There's a perfect donut for everyone. So mark your calendars and head to Dunkin' on June 7th, because at Dunkin', we make every day a little sweeter. Don't miss National Donut Day, Friday, June 7th.
Babe, you mashed the car? I march the car. The lady run into me march the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with a RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.
To see live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Just so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this wonderful Thursday afternoon, the day before Labor Day. We celebrate Labor Day. So I did mention that there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about today, beyond the Labor Day. I was reading the Nassau Guardian, and I was reading where Michael Pintard had criticized the government for an error in the PM statement about a shortfall in revenue, a $66 million error, as Mr. Pintard put it. I tried to get my head wrapped around the error per se, and trying to figure out what exactly was the problem. It seemed that the Prime Minister indicated that the shortfall in revenue in a certain part of the VAT revenue was, I think this was related to real estate transactions, was about $17.7 million, and that was about $60 million short. But Mr. Pintard was pointing out that in fact, it was some $81.4 million collected. And so Mr. Davis had it wrong. And in fact, if he had it wrong, though, I said, well, if he had it wrong, though, he had it wrong in a good way, because what he was counting as a shortfall was the shortfall, it seemed, and what turned out to be the case. But in any event, Mr. Pintard was saying it's that the Prime Minister's being distracted was the reason for that shortfall. Of course, the Prime Minister's communication and the actual details of the budget are always to mesh. There shouldn't be one thing said by the Prime Minister in his communication and another thing that is reflected in the budget details. And even though, you know, you can't make errors, but that's the budget. So if you make an error in the budget, you know, people start to wonder, is there any other error that exists in the budget, and so forth and so forth. So that's one reason why, if you are on the opposition side, you might take umbrage to point out an error when you see it. Prime Minister Davis came back to refute it and to claim that Mr. Pintard himself didn't quite understand what was being conveyed. And so he didn't really clarify the point for me, because according to The Guardian, this is what he said. But in a statement yesterday, the Office of the Prime Minister clarified that the difference was revenue from foreign property transfer. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that the shortfall was 17 or something million and there wasn't $81.4 million collected? Or like, what does it mean? I don't know. Honestly, I am not so clear on it just yet. But that wasn't really why I wanted to point to this, because the Prime Minister also said that Mr. Penta chooses to be insulting and demeaning towards me instead of trying to engage seriously with the issues of the day. Insulting and demeaning. Okay? And then he said that Mr. Pintard chose a terrible time to have his national convention. He said that Mr. Pintard chose to have his convention around the same time as the budget. So this is what the Prime Minister said. He said the choice to call a party convention during the budget period, arguably the most important session on the legislative calendar, the choice to prioritize a fractious leadership convention on the very weekend of the budget period is hard to understand, he said while opening the debate on the 2024-2025 budget. Now, honestly, I read that and I almost busted. Why? Do y'all realize? Remember, Ingram made this point several times. When Prime Minister Christie was Prime Minister and Mr. Davis was Deputy Prime Minister, they called a general election in May, that budget month. And Prime Minister Ingram made the point that choosing to call an election during the budget period meant that if you had a change in government, the new administration would be caught in the middle of a budget period, right? And Prime Minister Davis was Deputy Prime Minister when this decision was made. Of course, he didn't call the election, but I'm saying, if you call a convention, seriously though, you call a national convention on the weekend, on a Saturday, the House isn't meeting on a Saturday. It's a one-day convention. You're telling me that that is prioritizing a fractious something over the serious business of the budget when nothing stops. In fact, if you're the opposition, if you're the government, you might be delighted because maybe not an opposition is distracted to come and go and debate. But why would it be debate? What could cause anyone? So let me back up for a minute. Let me back up. I participated in 10 budget preparations, 5 as Minister of State for Finance. 5. I know cabinet ministers and I know opposition people. You think any of them were sitting around all day for days and on end just thinking about the budget? Heck no. Some was campaigning, others was going to different events and functions and so forth and so forth. They weren't sitting around saying, no man, I can't do nothing, I gotta go study the budget. Half come to the budget process, not even prepared to debate seriously the budget. Seriously, that it was bad timing because of the budget to have a national convention? I'm sorry. That sounds odd to me. That's what I'm saying. It sounds odd. Because surely you could do both, right? The Prime Minister is Prime Minister of the country and the Minister of Finance. The Prime Minister has many things to do, including the budget. Right? And so you know, intelligent men can negotiate these things and do what they have to do. So I just thought that was weird, particularly considering that we have had elections, general elections called in the month of May when the budget is presented. So that election happens, a new government is elected, and thereafter, they have to go right into budget preparations. Forget the debate, preparations. Mr. Bendad isn't involved with preparing the budget. That's the government's job. His job is to go and look at it and analyze it. Now, if you say he isn't doing a good job analyzing it, et cetera, that's fine. I don't think that might have anything to do with going to convention, though. I don't think that would be the problem at all. But, you know, to each his own, as they say. but we are an interesting people. I can tell you that. Let me tell you something. I don't care who gets upset with me. I'll be honest with you. I really don't, because I think the truth matters. And I mean, and listen to me. On both sides of the political divide, FNM and PLP, y'all had better understand. FNM, PLP, DNACR, y'all had better understand. Maybe not the entire population of voters in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, but there are lots of voters in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas who are attentive, who are alert, who are thinking. And as they listen to the diatribe, as they listen to the back and forth, they will look at you and think, are you serious? And they would ask you, can you really please get serious? Seriously? So let me give an example. Even the notion that the Prime Minister had something in his communication that didn't match what was in the budget can be chalked up to error, human error. That is possible. So I would not myself make weight of that unless that reflected a material impact. And contextually speaking, reflected some serious lapse in judgment insofar as organizing the financial affairs of the country's concerned. I could point it out. I could point it out. I say, you know, listen, man, you know, it seemed like you're like, we could check this because something's off between what you said and what you said. But unless it really reflected some material judgment in organizing the fiscal affairs of the country, I take it with a grain of salt, right? By the same token, if that's pointed out to me as a rebuttal to treat the accusation and criticism as an insult, when from the political platforms of our country, things are said about the personalities in power that are sometimes, forget insulting, they are just downright nasty. Really, I'm thinking, like, seriously? Like, that's what you took away from the criticism? We have to think that, man, let's get serious. Let's get serious about what really matters here. Let's get serious about whether or not we are making the kinds of choices and judgments that can bring our nation greater health, greater prosperity, greater education, greater social outcomes, and those kinds of things. And stop getting caught up in this stuff that at the end of the day doesn't produce a job, doesn't impact the health or well-being. And I'm talking about both sides have to take this into consideration and have that kind of debate that Bahamians say, man, I never thought about that. Oh my God, I'm so delighted they are looking at that. Right? That's the inspirational, aspirational perspective of things that we could have. This text says, I too thought the PM was off with the statement about when the opposition should or shouldn't hold a convention. I am also concerned about this amnesty on fee for registration of property and who is to benefit from it. This will need a lot more fleshing out. Actually, I think there are people who could benefit from the amnesty on registration because there are people who may work out circumstances of sales that, you know, for whatever reason, lapse. I don't know, but, you know, but again, you know, you're right to ask what the motivation is. And, you know, you're right to ask that. This says, good afternoon, sir. Please take your own advice. There are some of us who listen attentively and we know sense when we hear it. So keep pushing good Pintar on us daily. That's your take from what I have said. Let me tell you something, bro. Me and you have this discussion all the time. I could read from the first time you texted us. You have an angle, you have a perspective, you have a twist in your thing, you have a bee in your bonnet for certain partisan viewers, and that's okay. The difference between me and you is I don't lie about my bias. And I'm not pushing Pintar. I tell you the truth about him as I tell you the truth about Davis. If you don't like the truth I tell, my truth, stop listening to my show. Because you ain't gonna stop me from doing it. You never come on and say, Chivago, stop saying Mr. Davis is an affable guy. Stop saying that he's a very generous person. Stop saying that. You never do it. You know why? I know why. And you're always telling me, but oh, I know PLP, I know this. I don't know what you are, but you're something. And you're always texting me trying to call me something. Right? Stop your nonsense. I could see right through you. Because clearly, if I am for Pintar, you are not for him at all. I am not against Pintar. I am not against Mr. Davis. Right? So don't try and do that to me. Right? When people when people were on these shows knocking Dr. Minnis all day long, day out and day out, not a word from y'all. Other than amen, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. And people were commending Brave Davis. Not a word from you, but praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. And now you think you can cause me to pull back on my commentary because you think I like Mr. Pintar? I very much like him. Very much like him. Right? What you want me? You want me to lie about it? Right? He's been my friend for many years. I told you all that. Many, many years. What did I have to do? If he says something stupid, silly, wrong, unfactual, you will hear me talk about it just like you hear me talk about anything else. But I know what your problem is. You judge me the way you judge yourself because you think I do what you do. Well, I am not you. Let's be sure of that. This text says, great show. Did the prime minister forego attending the state funeral the day before the FNN convention to focus on the budget? But he might say that's a state funeral. Right? And so it is appropriate for the prime minister to attend that funeral. Appropriate. It says, good day, Mr. Lang. GB Power and Utility Company have private unions. That's true. That is true. Payments will do those lowly immigrant jobs. Y'all just ain't won't pay us enough to do it. The labor must match the salary, Chicago. So, see, this is, that's why I said it's a complicated issue. You want to be paid for something you think should get $500 when somebody else says, but I'm only prepared to pay $200, $300 for it. That's called the market, my friend. That's called the market. You don't get a loan to determine how much you get paid. You and employers have to come to an agreement. And so don't tell me, listen to you, Bahamians will do those lowly immigrant jobs if y'all just ain't want us to pay enough. Y'all just don't want to pay us enough. Y'all? Who's y'all? Let me ask you a question. Because see, some of y'all need to be checked. Would you pay $500 a week for someone to be a maid in your house? Would you do it? I assert that some people might, depending on the qualifications, the nature of the work and what have you. But would you do it? When your plumber comes to do your job, and the plumber might say, right now, he might charge you $150, but he say, nah, I need $300 for that. Would you do it? You'd say, no, it depends on the job, right? Of course it depends. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this news break.
I'm Marsha Gar. The lady run into me, Marsha Gar.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, National Bahamas.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me before on 439-3043. This text says, Mr. Lang, by the way, somebody pointed out to me, so you see these same Bahamians who say they would do the lowly jobs. if you all paid them enough. So these same people go to the United States of America and do them same jobs and get paid maybe even less and don't break a word. This text is, Mr. Lang, many Caribbean European countries celebrate Labor Day on May 1, like the UK. How is it that the Bahamas' Labor Day is June? Is there a reason for that? I know USA is September. Actually, I don't know. You're right. I know many of them celebrated in May. And I don't know why we chose June in particular. I don't know if maybe the advocacy by some or some chose it that way. I don't know. Really, I don't. Says, and look at what happens if Labor Day comes, a holiday comes right after Whit Monday. So we celebrate these two holidays in close proximity. This text says, is Brave Davis serious? You mean about the convention being called at the serious time of the budget? Apparently so. Apparently so. The PLP must be running for their political lives. They must feel a way that nobody got excited about their salary review. This text says, great show. Did the Prime Minister forgo attend? Oh, I read that already. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Great show. Texter sounds like a troublemaker, upset with himself. I don't know if he's a troublemaker, but that texter certainly has a bee up his bonnet for sure. But life is. Says, don't mind these people, Z. Pindad needs you, and we all need you to state the facts. Well, Mr. Pindad don't need me. You know, he has lots and lots and lots of help out there, and I'm not trying to push him or push for him, but I'm not going to lie on him, and I'm not going to back down from saying positive things about him if it's true. And if he says something that I find challenging, I'm going to say that too. You know, these same people who like to run on with nonsense forget. I mentioned that Michael Pindad mentioned in his speech some things about the commercial banking sector that I said he has to rethink that. I don't think that, I think that that has to, that those statements have to be reconsidered in the context of the reality of business. And the Nassau Guardian editorial pointed this out too, right? That you want the family islanders to have lots of things, but the truth of the matter is their economics does not admit to many things that they might want to have, you know? And so, you know, banks aren't going to the family islands out of charity. And if you fix the law to make a bank go there out of charity, then that to me is a mistake. But the government owns a bank and the government bank isn't there. Why? Because it don't make business sense for the government bank. But maybe there are other solutions that could be found. But you know, we have to be careful. I've said this on this show before. Picking on banks, picking on Haitians, and picking on the Grand Mama Port Authority is easy pickings in politics, right? But just because you pick on them doesn't mean your reasoning or your logic is correct on them. And so I think the banking issue has to be considered seriously, reconsidered, so that a position is developed that reflects the realities of life on the ground and in commerce. But again, don't look to me to be the help for Mr. Pindad, to be the help for Mr. Davis, to be the help for anybody. You know, I made comments about Mr. Davis that made its rounds as a voice clip, right? And lots of people were happy with that. So then you make comments with other people and then the same people get unhappy. Why? Because you're just demonstrating the same thing you accused me of, which is partisanship. I had FNMs who at the time said I cost the FNM the election. I mean, literally said that. And FNMs who say, oh, you're working against the party. That's what they said, because I said something I thought to be true. Right? That's why I don't, When you compliment me, I just say thank you. And when you criticize me, I just push back. But I don't take none of them things personally, because I know that sometimes for some of you, where you stand depends on where you sit. And so you do your duty and you move on. But please don't think that your help coming necessarily from this way. I'm sorry. Ah, oh boy, what a time in the world. Prime Minister Davis said that we had little success on inflation. He says, while admitting that the policies the government has put in place since 2021 have had little success in driving down the high cost of living, Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis said yesterday his administration is still attacking the problem from several angles. When the Prime Minister indicated that he and his administration were seeking to fight inflation, I said on this same show that they would have no success doing so, none whatsoever, because they can't fight it. You cannot fight it. You can't do anything about an inflation you didn't generate or create. You could make worse. You know what I mean? You could make it worse by some things you do, by your taxing policies and so forth. But you don't. We in this country do not drive inflation. Inflation, we import 90%+ of what we consume. And therefore, inflation is imported by the Bahamas. So unless you could go to the places where the inflation, the pricing of the products that you are importing come from, you cannot do anything about inflation. You cannot control the price of oil on the market and then on the global market. You do not control the price of steel and all these kinds of things that go into your construction products and so forth. You cannot. And therefore you cannot fight inflation. Those are not words that a Bahamian government should put in its vocabulary, because we cannot fight inflation. What you can do is you can bring relief to consumers either by direct monetary subventions or by some rebate or something. And again, you're not fighting inflation as much as you're giving relief in light of the inflation. But to say fight inflation, you can't do it. We can do nothing about inflation. This has been the history of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas for decades and decades, and it is unlikely to change anytime soon. So it is unsurprising that not little success. The Bahamas has had no success fighting inflation. Cannot. It's just an impossible task, right? It's not your fault. You know, it's not your fault. It's just the nature of our economic circumstances. This text says, I trust and hope Mr. Pintat accepts criticism with grace. I am hoping that this statement on banking was off the cuff in excitement. Yeah, well, I believe he can be open-minded enough to accept, critique. Because it's coming in abundance too. And it comes from within and it comes from without from time to time. So, you know, the most you could do is you listen to it and you listen to it and you course correct if necessary. He says, this text says, Davis announced the formation of a group to review trade costs in a bid to lower prices. I'm hoping this can bring relief across the board to review trade costs. Well, like, what can a committee do in that regard, right? Trade costs meaning what? Trade costs starts with import prices. So that's other people's prices. How do you impact other people's prices? You can only do that by expanding your sourcing options. So for instance, you may have been using one supplier for a long period of time and they've become comfortable with charging you a certain price and you never think to go look to another supplier, to look to another territory, to look to another region of the world. But if you did start to look to other regions of the world, perhaps you can find better pricing there. So is the trade committee going to be about the business of trying to figure out how thousands of businesses in the Bahamas can diversify their sourcing options? And even there, sometimes pricing isn't the only consideration because it's reliability. Sometimes I get several products from the same person. So while I might pay a little higher there, because I get the other things from those people, I'm satisfied with that. Is that what they're going to be looking at? Or are they going to be looking at the freight cost of shipping? And so they're going to figure out how to cause a ship, the giant shipping companies to lower shipping costs to the Bahamas some way, somehow, as if they're not subject to market dynamics that dictate how they charge. Okay, maybe they look at that. Are they going to look at the one thing the government can do something about, which is what it taxes and how it taxes you on your supplies? Custom duties, custom fees, and these kinds of things. Anyone who's ever imported anything into the country, who's looked at the, is it the Bill of Lading or? No, it's not the Bill of Lading. If you look at the various fees that get charged to you by the port, and you see where government fees are associated, you get some fee for the custom officer attending, you get some fee for inspection of this, you get some fee for this and the next, and then on top of that, you have a VAT charged on them services. You can look at those things and say, you know what? How about we cut some of them out and see what that impact might be? So you should try. Definitely, it's worth trying. And I think the government trying to look at these things makes good sense. But I believe the government can do an exercise in its own right that can make a difference to the kind of cost in time and money and effort that business people endure. Just look at your own behavior and conduct. How do you do that? When what's his name? Who was with Martin Luther King? Former mayor of Atlanta. Andrew Jackson, is it Andrew? Andrew Young, former mayor of Atlanta. When he told the story, I listened to him. But as he was telling this story, he said when he became mayor of Atlanta, he said he asked his folks to list all of the steps a business person had to go through in order to set up a business in Atlanta. That's all. No big committee, right? No outside consultant. He said, just list, pick up an application, fill out the form, submit the application, provide this supporting documentation, go to this inspection agency, go to that. That's all he asked. He says, and when he looked at the list, and he said, we have to cut this down. And it was able to make a difference to doing business in Atlanta. So similarly, you're the government of the Bahamas, you're the Ministry of Finance, you can simply ask, What does it take to do business in the Maryland? I tried a similar something. And one of the things we did when we revised the Business License Act was to put in there, I don't know if it's still in there, we put a deeming provision in the Business License Act. I don't know if of 2010, I don't know if some of y'all know this. But in that act, it says, it said, if you put in an application form with all the required documentation, how do you know you put in all the required documentation? Because the way the business license department was set up was to be able to say to you, in order to get this particular license, you need this, 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 that, and that. And if you put those into the business license department, and if you did not hear from them in 7 days, you were deemed approved. And you could walk up to them and tell them, could I have my business license, please? So I could go ahead and do my business. Instead of somebody telling you, oh, no, we're not done yet. That's called a deeming provision. We put that in the Business License Act as a means of trying to accelerate the ease of doing business in the country. I don't know if it was followed. I don't know if it was kept, but it was certainly in there. When you go to apply for a business license with the Grand Bahama Port Authority, to his credit, he enrolled in them. If you go on the site to apply, they ask you, what license are you seeking to get? License for a restaurant. Now, you put in the information, and then they give you, these are the things you need. 4, 5, 3 days. So you don't have to guess, go down there, have them say, no, you need to bring back. No, this is what they say you need. You carry those in, boom. According to Ian Roll, if you put in all of that, you should get and hear from them within 2 days. My experience has been that that is pretty much what happens. So again, you don't need no committee. You don't need an external consultant to be able to examine your own processes and ask, am I in your way? What am I doing that hampers you? Because the truth of the matter is, you see those workers that are going to be marching tomorrow? You see those workers who aren't working, who would love to be able to march saying they're working? Their fortunes in terms of pay, in terms of the ability to meet their obligation, very much depends on the success of entrepreneurs, on the ability of some entrepreneur with an idea to be able to get that idea up and running to make a shot at succeeding in that business. Why? Because as they do so, they need workers. They hire workers. And then that gets those people the ability to do something about their lives. But if they have to wait, and I've been there, done that, where people who work in these departments, they look at you and they say, oh, that can take 2 or 3 days, 4 days. They have no clue how much money you have tied up, have no clue that you have costs running on that delay, no clue. And sometimes what you are waiting for is for them to communicate with a colleague right down the road and say, yeah, Ben, we looked at that. Been inspected, and you could go ahead. You got paperwork to push. You got to fill out forms. Yes, you could fill out your form, but you could send an email. This is the digital age. You could send an email. Listen, this is your own colleague now. This is your own colleague. You could send an email to I, Shivago Sean Lang, inspected X place today, blah, 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 blah. Please go ahead and proceed. Documentation to follow. What's the problem? No problem whatsoever, but know to be powerful in yourself. To be cute in yourself, because somebody made you feel like, child, you better get that paperwork in. And if you, meanwhile, that business person got them money tied up, got those products sitting out there, waiting for this, waiting for that, waiting for the next thing. And by the same token, the people who you then interview waiting to get a job, they can't get no job because why? You're waiting for you to send an email. No, but you can't send the email. You're waiting for you to type out your paperwork, print out your paperwork, put your paperwork in a folder, take your folder and send it to the out tray for the messenger to pick up at the out tray, to take down the road to the other office,
to put in the entry so that they could take your paperwork out of the envelope, so that they could put the envelope on the paperwork on their desk, read through your paperwork, and then decide, oh yeah, we can send them an approval. And then we got to type out the approval, do this, that, and the next thing. All the while, the man waiting, paying interest on the loan, paying electricity for a business that can't sell a product, and all kind of stuff. But I understand you're not thinking about that because that's not what you do. You work for the man. And they are trying to be the man so that they can put people to work, make some money, and keep growing business and growing the economy. I understand. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang, I don't know what's your topic today, but I don't know why government workers up in arms about bi-weekly pay. It's the same thing. You don't have to withdraw your money bi-weekly. Just leave it until the month end and transaction will be the same as usual. I mean, that's true. That's true. But, you know, I think some people just kind of like they know themselves. And they probably just think, you know, never get that paid at the end of the month. That way I know I ain't spend it before the end of the month. And when the rent come at the end of the month, when the loan payment come at the end of the month, I get paid all that. So basically what they're asking is help me save myself from me. And that is not unreasonable. Sometimes we need that. Like some of us will not save unless there is an extraction from our salary put in something that if we break it, we might get penalized to do so. So I can understand that. I mean, but you're not wrong. It is the same thing. It's the same pay. But sometimes people become accustomed to a way of operating in their finances that meets with the kind of discipline they need for their circumstance. And so, but the government is the employer, and you know, the government could decide, except when you have been paying people a certain kind of way, you have established a contract with them, and so you can't really break the contract without agreement on both sides. Of course, you're the government, you can do what you want. This text says, to the person that refuted my statement, yes, some of us who would go to the U.S. if given the opportunity to do the same job for less, obviously. The cost of living is drastically lower than ours. You got to be out of your mind. You mean grocery? You try to rent an apartment in Florida today compared to the same apartment in the Bahamas today. Is you serious? Are you really, really serious? And might I tell you, friend, in the United States of America, where credit matters abundantly and credit score matters abundantly, see some of y'all there to ask questions to the people who live in these places. Ask questions. I have a daughter who lives in the United States. I have many friends who live in the United States. Some of you only visit the United States of America and only know America as a vacationer, right? There are cost differences on some things, like particularly the things you buy and bring back home here. But other things, no, bro, it don't work like that. In America, I have friends who live in neighborhoods where, you know, some of you know, go park up your car and the car don't have the insurance. In the neighborhood, you can't do that. You know how you park up the car because car ain't working? You can't do that in the neighborhood in America. Some of the apartments you rent, you have to pay for the apartment and for the parking. Okay. Depends on where you live. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. What are your thoughts on the bi-weekly salary for government workers? Again, I mean, like, some people might welcome that because some people find it difficult having to wait in between paychecks. So some people might welcome having a check every 2 weeks as opposed to every 4 weeks. And therefore, you know, that that's fine. So I think, honestly, I am indifferent about it. I'm indifferent about it, right? Does it improve government's cash flow somehow? Does it produce some social outcome that's beneficial? One would have to look and study these kinds of things. But I mean, at the moment, I'm indifferent about it. And will this have a positive or negative impact on salary deduction? Will they have to be written? It's not much information provided. Expect that it's happening. Well, the salary deduction doesn't have to be impacted by it, because if the government is going to be making a payment for you because of salary deduction, all that happens is when you get your biweekly pay, you will get that less the portion required for your payment at the end of the month. So it might be half that payment taken out of that biweekly pay and then the other half of the other biweekly pay. So that doesn't impact anybody's salary deductions. Says, good afternoon. Talking about that, I went to registrar's office just now. The elevator is still not working in that building. Ridiculous. Apparently, the phones are not working either. I was trying to reach them, and it seems they have some issue with the phone. I called the office in Freeport, and the office in Freeport was able to tell me that they were having some difficulty with their phone system in Nassau. Says, this text says, I went up and down the stairs 6 times to pay the government money. Thank you for your dedication, man. This text is biweekly requires more discipline. The early half pay will get serial gamblers in trouble. That is possible. That's possible. This text says all they have to do is go to whoever they pay in and ask them to take it out biweekly. Yeah. This says, so true, Mr. Lang. Monthly helps them budget. And this text says, and the government does help employees with discipline. For example, they made it illegal for salary deductions to exceed a given percentage of a worker's pay. Yes, we did that actually when Ingram was in office, and we saw what was happening to some of those deductions. Even though we recognize that some people live with other people and they use one person's salary to do the deductions, and then they live off the salary of the other person. So, but yes, that has happened and has helped some people to not get themselves in trouble. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. We're going to take a break, pay our respects to our sponsors, and be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand, everybody.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies. Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 89 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Remember the texter who said that the cost of living in the United States of America is lower? So there's a site I could invite them to go and take a look at. It's called Numbeo, Numbeo. What it does is it compares cost of living, cost of living in various places, right? And so Numbeo says that a family of four living in the United States of America, not paying rent, might pay $4,163.04 monthly. That doesn't include rent. What would the same person in the Bahamas do? According to Numbeo, $4,382.29. So the person in the Bahamas is paying about 70% more without rent now in the United States. But look at the difference. $4,107 to $4,307, right? Big difference, right? Yeah, right. But Numbeo also says when you include rent, on average, the United States is 13.1% higher than in the Bahamas. Okay? So you save $200 on your food bill and then. But then you got to rent. And according to Numbeo, you're going to pay higher on rent. But that was what I was saying when I said you got to think about it. More comprehensively than just buying some stuff. This text says, good afternoon, good show. This is a texter, Bahamian, living in the U.S., texting saying, good afternoon, good show. Visiting the U.S. and living here is not the same. You need even more discipline in the U.S. to survive. That is absolutely 100% true. According to every Bahamian and American who are familiar with the Bahamas, I know. So don't fool yourself. Go make your couple dollars. Go make your couple dollars doing maid service and thing of service in the United States of America. Pay the government federal taxes, local taxes, municipal taxes, and then tell me, yeah, you'd be better off. This text says, Mr. Lang, they just put a management team in place at Air Freight to take more of our money, which we don't have through JDL. This government is definitely not trying to lessen our taxes. Check who owns it. You will be surprised. JDL. This is in Nassau or Freeport, where you're mentioning that. This text says, a national focus on local costs is very commendable. We have been complaining about costs across the board for a very long time. Should any administration take up this task, they will certainly be commended. We need costs to be lowered. I agree with you, but you know what amazes me about the government too is the government nickels and dimes business people, man. Really, I mean, like, just nickels and dimes. I just think, like, figure out a cost, make the businessman pay that one cost and move on. To be bumping into this fee and that fee and the next fee, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And it's not the Davis administration that's doing that. That's been the government of the Bahamas under Ingram, under Christie, under Minnis, and now under Davis. Just nickel and diamond. You know, all over the place, you bumping into this cost and the next cost. It's incredible. This text says, as usual, government workers will run through that money getting pay every 2 weeks. Bahamas, we live with our parents until our kids 80, paying no bills. That's why we have it easier than people in the USA. Could be for some people who have that ability. for sure. So, the government says it's going to buy the International Bazaar, I am being told, right? Do you all know who owns the International Bazaar? It has always been somewhat of a mystery to some people living in Grand Bahama, but it's a combination of the hotel union, a private, a foreign person who is a resident of the Bahamas for a long time, his name escapes me, and then one or two other individual owners. So there's several owners of the International Bazaar. There have been efforts to sell the bazaar several times, and the efforts have been thwarted by the inability of the various owners to come to agreement about the sale, right? I heard a report saying that the International Bazaar was destroyed and all of his structures destroyed. And I asked myself, did that person who was doing that report go to the bazaar? Because those of us who know better know that some buildings in the bazaar were burnt down, but the bazaar has many structures still intact. The bazaar has at least one or two people who still doing business out of the bazaar. Right? But there are structures there. Like whether those structures are capable of being used for anything else, I do not know. But the bazaar has still got many structures. Now, why the government should purchase the bazaar? Why should the government purchase the bazaar? Is a good question. Like, why should the government seek to do it? What was the rationale given? That's a different story. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking about it. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
For a breakfast that will wake up your taste buds and kickstart your day? Well, Burger King NASA has got you covered with the new Angry Crust Sandwich. Made with fluffy eggs, melted cheese, jalapenos, a spicy sauce, and your choice of ham, sausage, or bacon on a warm croissant. Make it a combo and add our signature hash browns and your choice of coffee, tea, or orange juice for a great way to start your day. Spice up your breakfast with the new Angry Crust Sandwich combo only at Burger King NASA.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So what are the boy?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info? And when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled so nobody can read what you saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, the day before Labor Day. We were talking about the International Bazaar before we took a break. You know, my mother wanted to remind me that the straw vendors, like herself, actually owned their stalls, their spaces in the bazaar too. Now, how that works in terms of the, like, do they have deeds to the land that their stores were on? You know, if you're not holding title, that's a different story because, you know, as we like to say, land owns building, building can't own land. So whether they had title deeds in that way, I do not know, but I know they had a vested interest, the straw vendors, in the bazaar. According to Minister Ginger Moxie, the government has arranged, well, under Prime Minister Davis, the government has arranged funding, a loan facility from the Afro-Exim Bank for the bazaar. And the minister for Grandmama, Ginger Moxie, says that they are going to create in the bazaar an Afro-Caribbean marketplace, an Afro-Caribbean marketplace, meaning who is going to create this Afro-Caribbean marketplace. She says her ministry plans to create an Afro-Caribbean marketplace. So how that is going to be played out, the details of same would be helpful and useful. And she says that it's going to be transformed into a world-class tourist attraction featuring 74 countries and 16 islands. So there has to be some advanced thoughts about this because she's able to specifically say 74 countries and 16 islands in the Bahamas. For those of you who may not be familiar with the International Bazaar, it was a tourist attraction attached to a hotel, the Princess Towers, across the road from the Princess Resort, where you could go basically and visit regions. So you could go to the Asian region, so you get Chinese food and Chinese souvenirs and what have you. Then you could go to the African region and you could see African wares and so forth. And then you could go actually, they're the only two I remember, Chinese and Africa. I don't remember any other region of the world. Yeah, there were some European, some like ancient Greece and them. So yeah. You know, now there's a suggestion to kind of redo that and the government seeks to invest some $30 million to do that. You know, I'm not gonna knock the proposal. I'm not gonna knock the suggestion at all. I don't know enough to knock it. The bazaar is a defunct, dilapidated thing. And pretty much if you level the whole thing and had just a clear space, it'd be of an improvement over what exists there now. To put something there that could bring about some economic activity, tourist attractions could be useful. I had other thoughts for it, but you know,
that's certainly not the only set of ideas. I thought it should become the International Aquatic Bazaar. I thought it should become a water feature. I thought it should become a place where Panamanians and tourists could go and enjoy in this hot tropical climate, all kinds of water features, to be able to see magnificent aquarium features that had stingrays and seahorses and what have you. Y'all could take my idea. I'm not afraid of it. And I even thought that the main attraction for the International Aquatic Bazaar would be at midnight, the appearance of a mermaid out of a cave, underwater cave, at midnight. And everybody stayed at midnight to see this mermaid make her appearance and go swim around and then go back. And don't tell me it can't happen. Disney could make anything happen. And then fireworks would happen at midnight, and then boom, you could go home, come back the next day, and the kids could go and enjoy water stuff and cool up their stuff, because you know the water would come up off the ground. You could just, that's what I thought it should be. I mean, but that's just me. You could see sea creatures from all around the world, right? So doing something with it, I'm not gonna knock anybody for it. I don't know the pricing, whether the pricing good or bad or ugly. I don't know. I don't have enough information to do that. Says the reason the government may have bought the casino is because 10 acres of the real bazaar, 20 acres is owned by Harcourt, and the other 10 acres by those 12 owners. Yeah, Harcourt did purchase the Princess Towers and all that. That's the Irish group. Say they were said to own the area as a coop, but no records could be found of that purchase transfer. Oh, owned as a co-op, sorry, as a co-op. Yeah, okay. So your mom's statement seems to have been an open understanding that they were to pay a small fee, or if that was ever paid. I see, okay. This text says, the promise to purchase the bazaar is just another promise this administration will have to defend. At the end of the term, this administration will have so many unfulfilled promises that along with bury them. It's as if no consideration is ever being given to how in the world we will ever pay to fulfill all the fanciful promises. This text says, Mr. Lang, SeaWorld, but we have that in Pinewood every time. You don't have no SeaWorld in Pinewood because you don't have no sea creatures and you don't have no rides. but it wouldn't be SeaWorld. It's an International Aquatic Bazaar. So like if you move in the Asian section and you could move and see those kinds of creatures that might be in the seas and waters in Asia, the Caribbean section, see the ones that are in the Caribbean section and so forth and so forth. That's now in, this was not something a government could do. This is something I thought a private group could undertake. And you know, if they won't give an issue shares to Bahamians, that'd be great too. Says the difference you'll feel in the US is if you're skilled. The top salary is limitless, depending on the skill, not the same here. That is true. That is true. Even though I would say you're not quite correct, because in the Bahamas, your top salary is not limited, my friend. I know Bahamians who are making big, big bucks and don't pay taxes like they pay in the US. So, but you're right. In the US, I mean, you can, the sky's the limit in some ways, more so than yeah. But if you are unskilled, the world is a different world. It says you could go tankless breathing for the mermaid, and that could be incorporated into our costume and remain unseen, hidden as part of the face mask, allowing it to be part of a look. Of course, I mean, I agree with you 100%. That's exactly what I'm thinking. That's why I'm thinking that's not hard, but I want you to imagine this. Y'all can imagine this. So this you hear the music starts, that movie theater music, dun, 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 and the announcers are making the announcement about this legend that exists in Freeport about mermaids. From I was a child in primary school, in Louisiana Primary School, mermaids was a constant feature of our day. People, children, not adults, children saying how they saw a mermaid in the, at the hole here and at the hole there, and so what I'm describing what the mermaid looked like. So mermaids are part of folk legend in the in Freeport, in Grand Bahama, right? So the announcement, is giving all this context and background and all that kind of stuff. And just before midnight, you do the countdown, 10, 9, and everybody looking in this big aquarium feature and this cave structure, 9, 8, 7. And then at 12 midnight, she appears. All I hear floating inside the water, and she is moving up and down gracefully and what have you, and the children just marveling and so forth and so forth, and she don't make no long appearance. And before long, poof, she back in the cave. And all the fireworks kick off, etc. Now, you could have that, or you could have the Afro-Caribbean in an Ashimazah. I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not saying that. See, let's be real. Attractions aren't attractions because you think they are attractions. See, we would love some of our cultural things to be to attract great attention. And they might attract some attention, but you don't impose attention on people, you know. People's attention is a matter of what they are intrigued about. And so you could build it and think they will come, but you better be in their heads. And aquarium features are huge, massive attractors of people all over the world. I don't know what it is. When my children were younger, we used to go to Atlantis, and the same big group of swimming back and forth, they want to go to Atlantis and see week in and week out. That's all I'm saying. Anyways, we'll see how it plays out and in time. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I wish you every happiness on your holiday break. This text, I don't mean to knock the idea, but we've been promised docks and airport on every island, which are really needed, hospitals in Nassau and Grand Bahama. The list goes on. This administration is more than halfway through. So when are we going to see the fulfillment of all these promises? You laugh out loud, Mr. Lang, you have a vivid imagination. First of all, let me tell you all something. A part of your government struggle to deliver all these things to you all is your economy is not robust. Want the government to have money to do things? Get an economy that builds money, that creates money, that generates money, and you'll find lots more opportunity. God bless you, man. Have a fantastic holiday weekend. We'll talk to you again, God spares life, next week. Take care.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.